I've got to put the bloody bash at the start of the show, not at the sodding end. What a wanker.
Do a little bit and add it in.
Yeah, I'll do a little bit and add it in.
Well,
I'll do it now. And don't forget the bash. Yes, get yourself down here for the bash. It is the 6th and 7th of July. Tickets are still available. £25 for adults, £5 for kids. But all your beer and food's included and all the games and all that kind of stuff. We've got a new venue as well, which is down at the Minworth Social Club. It's £35 a room, and it's 19 rooms down there, and they're absolutely brilliant. The Travel Lodge's cottoned onto us, so we will move the thing next year to a later date, and then we'll get the better algorithm again. But and you're going to hear another bit that sounds exactly like this at the end of the podcast as well as. So stick around for that, and there's a Spot the Difference prize that's going to be given out at the end. There we go. Anyway, let's do picks. That'll do. I'll put that at the start as well. That'll really confuse them.
Like, fast forward, Siri. No, rewind, Siri. Fast, Siri. What's going on?
Oh, man. I wish, you know what? If I was organised, I'd be decent, but I'm not. I'm just shit. Hello, welcome to our coverage of the WWDC keynote. Yes, we didn't do it on Monday because I was away working, so I barely got to see it myself, and I still haven't finished watching all of it yet, but I've got the gist of it, of the main point, so I'm all right there, and we're going to have a go at having a soiree through it. The people behind me have got far more knowledge, particularly the guy on the top right corner, Patrice, because he's actually still there. He's our roving reporter. Mate, how's it going?
I'm tired. It has been a really long and very interesting week. My brain is hurting. Learned so much here.
Cool.
Met so many great people. But yeah, I mean, it has been great. It has been a great week. And there's so much to talk about, I mean, that Apple didn't even mention in the keynote.
Right, okay.
It's crazy.
You can tell how much Patrice has had by the orientation of the U.S. flag on his lapel, which is upside down right now. So he's spent.
No, isn't that supposed to mean he's in complete trouble?
Yes, I'm in complete trouble.
Signal of distress. Is the tiredness because of the hard work, or is the tiredness because you've been shit-faced every night?
No, actually, I've been pretty good. I mean, yeah, last night was the bash, so that was, I drank a little bit more then, but no. Other than that, I've actually been pretty good. I was in bed sometimes around 10 p.m. I was just so tired.
In bed at 10 p.m. Oh, wow. And you haven't got any jet lag because you only come from Arizona.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I was freezing. Pathetic. I was freezing, though. I mean, left there with, it was 45 degrees Celsius.
Jesus.
And here it's like 15, maybe. Felt like 15 at least.
It's a
the
fridge.
Fog from the bay that... Classic San Francisco fog.
No ice for his drink.
Yeah.
No, I haven't fixed that shot yet. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Adam, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. It's nice and sunny and warm here. They've started. Today is actually the first official day of summer vacation for the family, so I kind of have to be quiet. Nobody else is up, and they don't have to work.
So when do they go? When do your kids go back to school, though?
They'll go back. In end of August, September, I'd have to look.
Jesus, you get a good holiday. We don't break up until the end of July, and then they go back on the first week in September. So it's like 5 to 6 weeks.
Yep. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they might go back earlier in August, but I think it's late August.
That's pretty bad. And last but by no means
least. In Arizona, it's actually beginning of August.
Well, they're on a completely different month in Arizona. They've opted out of the time change, and now they've gone to a different month as well.
Apparently, yeah.
Right now, Arizona, it's August all year.
Well, weather-wise, pretty much, yes.
And last but not least, James is in England. Why aren't you supposed to come over here, mate? You're supposed to sit with us.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I came over about 4 days ago, expected to be a granddad any day, and she's holding on to this baby for dear life. This is my daughter-in-law. I've been told I will be a granddad tomorrow at the very latest.
At 46?
44.
Are you only 44? I thought you were 46. Yeah. Jesus.
Thanks for adding a few years onto the year.
It was a long paper, eh, mate?
It was a long paper, right?
Shropshire, mate.
So he could have to leave mid-show. You might have to leave mid-show, huh?
No, she's crazy, yeah.
Actually, ever since we got back, they've come round every night to my father-in-law's where we're stopping over here. And she's come round every night and just look at her going, you should have had it by now. She's huge.
It's cooked already.
But yeah, it's good to be back. We brought the weather back with us, which is lovely. It's been a cool temperature over here. It's been lovely. It has been like being in France, actually. It's been fantastic.
Apart from all the people, all the cars, all the noise.
Do you know what? That's the biggest thing. Look, you kind of realise, hey, how many traffic lights there are and roundabouts there are in Telford. There's a lot.
Yeah.
It's 650 miles door-to-door from where I live in France.
That's not bad.
And I did it in about 11 hours. Stopped once in France and then once in England. To let our dogs go out for their business, you know. Jesus, but otherwise,
you must have run fast.
Oh, mate, it's a great drive, though.
And that's Muller that you can hear giving some shit in the chat. He's out of focus. He's pixelated. We did fix this last night, and look at it. Yeah. It's
I can't see.
It's gone belly up again.
The
grief we had last night trying to get this to bloody work. It was horrific.
It's like footage from the police blotter. It's like, hey, have you seen this man?
There we go. Oh, man. It was last night we had a real problem with it, with everything. It just would not work no matter how hard we tried. And actually, I've got to say, as you all know, we've been supported by Telestream. That's been very kind. They've given us $1,000 worth of software in Wirecast, which actually I've got to say, Wirecast 9 is beautiful. I'm really enjoying it. I'm not doing it anywhere near the justice it's supposed to get, but it's improved. But we had a problem with the capture device wouldn't talk to the Blackmagic capture device wouldn't talk to the software, and we're like, oh, this has got to be something, you know, known issue. And last night I sent a ticket through after about half an hour of trying to get it working. And within 15 minutes, we got Sean from the team who was writing back saying, understand that we're supporting you, therefore, you're top of the queue, what can I do for you? And the service was blinding, mate, absolutely blinding. And he just said, right, okay, yeah, uninstall, reinstall with the device attached, put in your activation code, and it should just work fine, and it has. It's worked brilliantly, so... Thank you very much, Telestream. There'll be a proper read for them later on, but I was dead impressed with the tech service, you know, sponsorship aside. So, WWDC. Let's just start with a general statement. Did you enjoy the keynote? Yes or no? Because I did.
Are we supposed to just chime in? I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was a good keynote. I thought it was good stuff in there. We'll talk about what the good stuff is in a second. The only thing I just want to say is it was like you watching a sugar-coated version of the Brady Bunch. It was just the cheese that was on stage was unreal. The woman on the bicycle, and she calls her daughter, in inverted commas, stage daughter, I'm sure. Oh, hi, Mum. Yeah, you look super awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I'll keep going then, shall I, honey? Yeah, you do that, and you beat so-and-so to his rings. It was just like, I want to frigging puke.
That was a little bit corny. I got to meet...
It was a lot of it was corny.
Actually, and I mean, this was... Actually, it was real. But, yeah. It was obviously rehearsed and scripted and everything.
She's taken parenting to a whole new level, if that was real, mate.
Well, I mean... It's kind of cool that they do that stuff for real, but I mean the reality is when you do that, it ends up a little bit like a like the talent show at the end of camp, right? That's kind of the vibe that comes across because they're not professional actors, you know.
But it felt more than that. It felt cheesy. It was you know, the woman that was kind of like back to you, Craig. That was.
But just, remember, the, I mean, they did that with the, they did that with the Apple Watch. Remember the whole thing in the middle of the lake.
Yeah, no.
Right. They always kind of do that. There was just more of it. You're right. I mean, there was more of it in this keynote because they were kind of had more remote demo stuff that they wanted to show off. But it was very much in the vibe of the whole, you know, I'm on the lake paddling. I can take a phone call.
But that didn't come across as that cheesy, whereas this one, I think
it was pretty cheesy.
It came across way cheesy.
You just don't like kids.
Has my daughter been on the phone to you? No, has she called? No, James, you were chiming in.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because obviously I was watching this with my wife. She had her laptop on and she was occasionally looking over and going, "What the hell are you watching? Wasn't this an Apple event?" And I was like, "Yeah, it is." But it just felt like you said, these different sections of people's lives and it was jumping in and out. But I would say, genuinely, I did enjoy it. I think I did come away thinking, well, if I was 14 years old, I probably would have loved most of that. It did feel a bit like
the Brady Bunch.
Dumbed down, but you know, it felt like when the Me Emoji thing came on, and it was kind of like this very oldish woman going through doing herself as a Me Emoji. I do feel a bit like, oh God, we probably didn't need to see all of this demo. But I mean, as a thing altogether, it was great to see them look back at the speed of older devices. That's what I found most interesting, that they were really concentrating on speed. And that's so good, because so many people obviously talk about Apple and slowing down things, and now actually can turn around and say, you know, we devoted a lot of that keynote to speeding devices up, which I thought was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, I loved it.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the themes that I saw this week. I mean, it's all about performance improvement. It's all about speed. They had so many sessions here where they talked about how can you speed up your Mac, your app, and how can you leverage all the tools that they're giving you to even analyze the performance and figure out where the issues are and all of that. So that was a big theme this entire week, actually.
Yeah, comments from the chat room, bit too long, but I'm not a developer, says Mark. Fair point. A bit staged, would have been nice to have loosened it up a little bit. Bob Beach, half was good, half was just boring. Too much on GIFs, says Muller, who sat right there. He could have said that himself. Bloody awful, says GB Redneck. I don't think that's fair. So, I mean, if we do the things right from the start, I thought the legacy thing was brilliant, because you've now got everything went back to 2013, was supported with iOS 12. 2013 is still supported, which I think is brilliant. But then the counterpoint to that was your wife's not obsolete in September. well, maybe your Apple Watch is obsolete. If you got a version 0, is obsolete in September, and that smacks a little bit, because someone out there has got a gold one at $10,000 that's going, you what?
But I mean, that was expected. Apple has actually done that with other products. The iPad one, the very first one, was actually obsolete. I think even same time frame, after a couple of years, the first iPhone I remember wasn't supported as long either. I think that's just a matter of first generation hardware not being as good and not being as polished, and they simply have to do it. Otherwise, the platform can't progress.
Right. I know you can still use it to tell the time potentially, or is that gone as well?
No, you can still use it for almost everything. It's not going to stop working. It's just not going to get the latest and greatest features.
Yeah, but surely it is, because it won't talk to iOS version whatever eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually, yes, but not right now.
I would say, you know, I've just bought the Series 3, so anybody who knows me and follows me on Twitter sort of stuff. I just sold my Series 2 Nike watch on eBay, and I got £220 for it. And then within a matter of hours, I was buying a Series 3 Nike watch for £250. So for sort of no extra money, I'm actually back on top of the pile, if you like, with almost the same watch, but now Series 3, which is fantastic, really. But if I could look at CEX and secondhand places for Apple watches, and they're going for a really good song at the moment, so... It is one of those Apple products that people either, you know, they pick up, use, realize they don't really need it, or or use it on a day-to-day basis. So it's moved on pretty quickly. iPhones tend to hang around with people, but the Apple Watch seems to have a good, cheap second-hand market, which I think is brilliant if anybody wanted to dive in.
Yeah, except for a zero, and especially a $10,000 zero, which is now worth 99 cents on eBay.
We knew that was going to happen, though, right? I mean, we talked about that when that came out, like how dumb it was, because it was going to get obsoleted in 2 to 3 years. And sure enough, it did.
No. AR kit, then. So they've Sherlocked, what do you call it? Measure kit.
Measure kit, yeah.
Bastards. Have they done it as well, or have they done it better? Or
I would say
they stole the code.
From my testing, better.
It's better, right?
I've only had a chance to test it a little bit, but I mean, I've used MeasureKit the last couple of weeks quite a bit, and it's better.
So, James, you've obviously downloaded iOS 12, and you're saying it's better as well.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Oh, no, I haven't downloaded it. I kind of stayed. My friend has, who I trust implicitly, and the first he said to me was, oh my God, I didn't realize my iPhone 10 was slow. Because he put the 12 on and just said it's so snappy and it's solid as a rock. He's not encountered anything up with it at all. He's really, really impressed. So I will do. I'm just obviously because of the baby being here, I want my phone to work when it needs to work. So I don't trust it yet. But for the reports I've had of other people as well, iOS 12, just loving how snappy it is. Even on the iPhone 10, which you've got to wonder, you know, how it could be any faster, because I think this thing is a rocket.
Yeah. I thought the new file format looked good. I think that probably fits in with their desire to make things an awful lot slicker, because I mean it's a battery hand at the moment using ARKit. So maybe that, and I noticed all the iPads were all on charge regardless. Just maybe that's because of the theft or something, but it was just like you knew these were going to get hammered. And maybe the new file system's a little bit lighter on CPU and therefore battery.
Are you talking about Apple file system or the USD
file? Yeah.
The funny thing is that format's not new.
Oh, isn't it for them?
It's super old.
Nope.
Yeah. Pixar developed it for A Bug's Life.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah. So they've extended it and added onto it a little bit. Apparently what they're doing is they've created a container file. So the Z part stands for zero compression, and it's like a zip of a bunch of USD files, which Pixar has been using for a long time, apparently. So, and now they're trying to work with Apple to help push it forward as kind of a standard for AR.
And they've given it away, though, which I think is kind of cool.
Right.
The file
it's a really cool format when you start digging into it. But yeah, I did a little research on it, and it's been around for a while.
I mean, that is something that I've also noticed and that Apple, in my opinion, doesn't get enough credit for. A lot of the things they do nowadays is open source. It's all on GitHub. It's out there. Anybody can use it. Anybody can change it. Any company can fork it. So I think that's something they don't get enough credit for. I mean, we're still waiting for FaceTime, by the way, but other than that, they're actually doing quite a bit on the open source side and have been actually for a long, long, long time, but yeah, they don't get credit for it.
Yeah, no. I'm hopeful to see where that goes, and I'm glad that yes, they're trying to leverage the market into being that standard, but, and the fact that Adobe stepped up and said, right, we're going to recognize it from the start, and it's going to be involved in everything that we do, Creative Cloud's got it straight across the board automatically, that was really cool.
I did kind of cringe, though, when they came out, because Because obviously, you know, nobody's enjoying their Creative Cloud, let's face it. It's a lot
Adobe?
Of money, isn't it? You've got to make
some. You're kidding. It's not two coffees a month, you tight bastard.
I don't know. It just grates me.
Just we zoom tight bastard, just having in residence à la campagne in the south of France.
I don't even use much of it, and I probably should be on a cheaper plan. I mean, I pay the full boat to have access to everything. Which is nice because occasionally I've been like, oh, I want to use Audition or I want to use Premiere for something. I don't do it that frequently, but having all of that, I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I'm using Photoshop, Illustrator, and XD now. But I think XD is actually free at the moment, if I'm remembering.
So what's that costing you a month, Adam?
It costs, 60 bucks a month?
Okay.
Something
like that. Yeah, around about 60.
That's good.
But I mean, it's been well worth it, because I never worry about anything, and clients send me files and things like that, and it's like, oh no, I have that, no problem. I've had to use the full version of even though I have PDF pen and that's what I mostly use. There was one time when I needed what's their PDF thing called? I can't even remember now. Acrobat,
gosh, right?
Darn it. Yeah. I needed the full version of Acrobat for something weird, some weird thing, and it was like, oh, I've got that, no problem. So, like, from a business perspective, it's well worth the yearly cost. It's just a business expense. Plus, I get to write it off. So,
I think it's one of those things. It's obviously my Final Cut 10 and the Motion guy. I get everything I need from those two things, and then I use Affinity Photo, which right. I use as well. So those products you pay once, and that's it. You've got those utilities, and they've always been updated. I mean, Affinity Photo now, I would say, is I'm as good at that as I ever was on Photoshop, when Photoshop was an actual, you know, buy and own product. And I finally got there with Affinity Photo. But that's why when I look at Adobe Clan, I'm going, bloody hell, subscription. But I do appreciate that's probably where most of this software will go eventually. Yeah. But when you've got things like Affinity Photo, just brilliant.
Yeah, with Adobe though, it's really a difference between are you a professional or not a professional, and I mean it's a hard line. Are you professional and using this for business? I don't see a casual person or even a pro consumer user really necessarily needing an Adobe subscription. Although they've gotten better about making, like you were alluding to, some of those lighter subscriptions or different packages that are a bit more affordable. Because I think you can get kind of the core for about $20 a month, right?
£10 for Photoshop each month. That's it.
Yeah, £10.
I think Photoshop and Lightroom you get for $10.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, free. That's, yeah.
I mean, and it's constantly being updated. They're constantly improving it. They're constantly adding new stuff, which is different than it used to be. So I don't know. I've been a very happy Creative Cloud, and I encounter this a lot because I have clients who don't want to upgrade who are pro users, and it's like, just upgrade already. You need to do it. And they're just holding on to these. I know I've got people that are running version 5 still, and it's like, just upgrade. And they're like, I don't want to pay the subscription. It's like, it's your business. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
There's upgrades to all of the OSs, really, isn't there? Some of them are smaller. So like Apple TV is a smaller thing. They're just integration into existing stuff. But has anyone noticed any problems with their Apple TV 4? Because I've just bought one, because we've now got a 4K TV at home. And
what kind of problems?
It doesn't come on, and it doesn't connect to the handset, and then you have to unplug it and replug it, and then it says, oh, do you want to do a reset up start? So you do reset up start, and then it comes back, and sometimes it'll ask you for your password for Netflix and stuff.
A 4 or a 4K?
It's the 4K one.
Oh, I don't have a 4K one.
Never had any issues.
And it just, if for some reason, it's just every time we try and start it at the moment, it's had a brain freeze. Whether it's trying to do an update and the update just hasn't made it each time, and it just keeps going, I need to go and have a look at the updates maybe, but I just saw it.
But I mean, you're definitely right. The Apple TV upgrade is kind of small. I'm almost guessing there is something happening. I mean, either there literally is nothing they want to do with it, or there is something coming up in September or October. Where they will have way more features and they just didn't want to announce anything.
You would have thought they're waiting for some content, because they've been talking about Apple are going to do the following. And when those are all ready, they'll have a content keynote that says, this is what we're doing, and there we go.
Yeah,
that would actually be.
Yeah, maybe. Muller's telling me to take it back to Apple, except I bought it off Amazon.
That Atmos thing is, I mean, that's a big deal. So that was kind of the biggest part of the TV update.
But it was announced
Dolby last year. Atmos.
So it's not news.
No. There's Sonos have had a keynote as well this week as well, and they've improved AirPlay 2. So they now do AirPlay 2.
Yeah, but even that wasn't, I mean, they pre-announced that, so that was like, okay.
Have a keynote no news to say really. What you already told us, yeah.
Well, and they have the new, more affordable soundbar.
Yeah,
right. The bar, Sonos bar.
Yeah.
But then now Amazon came out with the Amazon Box thing at the same time. It was kind of all a big kerfuffle to get all this stuff out in one go. Anybody seen the Amazon sort of box for the TV?
No, I've got a Panasonic one that I bought, and I've got to say it's great. Really, really good.
I have a Sonos system already, so...
It's called the Fire TV Cube, and that sort of came out, and it's Atmos, you know, verified and all that business, and it's a HDMI switcher. It looks like it's a kind of Alexa all-in-one switcher. It's come out in America at the moment at about 100 and... what is it? 199, is it? Something like that. 119.
So,
is it really called the box?
James? Fire TV Cube. There you go.
Okay. It's like, it's the Hulu box.
Hulu.
Bezos box. Oh, yeah.
Bezos box. Yeah. Looks like it's sinking into the...
Spanish is the box. It's awful. It's just like a black box for the Amazon badge, you know, bang center.
Instead of it being a box that looks like it's sinking into the floor like that that other one was, because it's a Bezos box, looks like it's embedded in the ceiling.
So I have to bring this back a little bit to the keynote because I have to kind of leave in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
So I just wanted to mention the big themes that I've seen this week because that, I mean... kind of ties into what Apple is focusing on. The biggest theme for me was design. So they had a lot of really, really good design sessions. And even if you're not a developer, even if you're not a designer or anything like that, I encourage you to watch them. It explains so much about what the thinking is behind things. I mean, they explain, for example, in one session, what the ideas are behind the gestures on iPhone 10, what their thinking was, and why it behaves the way it does. And that was really interesting. And I said it had nothing to do with really being a designer. It was more helpful and useful. The other thing was there was a session, the qualities of good design, where Apple went into what is design even, what is quality, and why should we care? Why is it important? And I said, I mean, I almost get the feeling that Apple is giving away a little bit of their secret sauce in that area. Which is awesome because it actually helps us, all of us, understand more what they're doing and also improve what we are doing. I was speaking from the product development side.
Right.
So that was a big theme. And then machine learning. Basically, they introduced machine learning into almost every area. I talked to a couple of engineers and basically it's everywhere. Whenever there was a session, something that you could customize, it's usually, okay, we have introduced machine learning in this. So that is a big topic, and I mean, something that
is that just a buzzword and it's genuinely included and integrated, or is it just a buzzword that they've done some stuff?
No, it's genuinely included. So one example, they introduced a natural language API that allows basically apps to parse text in multiple languages. But if what they're providing is not enough, there's a way with machine learning to basically train a system that you can detect whatever language you want to have, whatever text you want to parse. So, for example, Fantastical input where you can basically type in appointment with Ewan, Fridays, 8 a.m., podcast or whatever, that you can do with machine learning even if Apple doesn't provide the tools for it. So it's genuinely in there and it's generally really helpful. I mean, I'm thinking about just going to my own.
Someone's just won at a birthday party, is it? Is it you, TGI Fridays?
They're playing the AR kit game that they showed on stage in the background. So sorry about that.
Oh, right.
So my thing about the machine learning part is, you know, I worry like a lot of these technologies, it always starts out where Apple provides an easy way to integrate it and developers kind of go overboard with it and implement it when they don't really need it or just mess with it. And then I think it takes a while for it to calm down and for the development community to figure out where the useful application and the practical application of that stuff is. And it sounds like Apple's trying to help them understand that. But, you know, we always get the Wild West when we last year was ARKit. So like everybody put AR in their thing, whether they needed it or not. And it kind of got a bit crazy. And now just this year, it feels like we're starting to see more practical, real applications. And I have a feeling machine learning might be this year's AR kit in terms of like, why does this have
machine learning? That's what I'm saying. It's a buzzword, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, fortunately, it's something that you, as a user, as a consumer, will likely not see because it's just happening in the background. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's definitely one thing. The other theme that I saw and that also ties into machine learning was privacy. Apple, in every session, no matter what, design, no design, machine learning, AR, no matter where you're going, they're always talking about privacy. They're always talking about, I mean, how is this better than having that in the cloud? How is this, how can you make this more secure, more privacy conscious for your users? So that's also a big topic, also in the machine learning area, because something that a lot of people don't realize is machine learning has privacy implications, because you can, those models that you create, those can contain sensitive data if you're not careful. And that can be accessed, actually, again.
Interesting right. comment here from Deepan in the chat room. He's saying, until the use case calms down, machine learning and AI will be like 3D TV.
No, I doubt again, I really doubt that.
Yeah. The difference is, like Patrice pointed out, is you're not going to notice really that it's in the work. It's more of a behind the scenes sort of thing. So, you know, the actual, it's going to be a bigger problem for the developer. It's like, why is this app running slower? Why is it being weird? Or, you know, it's you're not going to notice it like you would 3D TV, where it's just gimmicky. Because it's not going to impact you directly.
Yeah,
and most people will not notice this, or will not know this, but I mean, the iPhone, even the current version, has a big chunk of machine learning already included in it. I mean, all the Siri search suggestions and calendar suggestions, and I mean, so many things already are machine learning based. So Apple is just opening up that up to other people. And they actually did last year already with Cornell. This year, it's just step two in that process.
I want to comment on the privacy thing, because I think that's a bigger deal than people really realize, because I think Apple's one of the few companies that is taking that philosophy so huge internally that it's being built into the core of, you know, like the tools and stuff are being built into the core of the operating systems. And that's huge, because if you're working on other platforms and things like that, and you do care about security, you're going to have to, you know, sort of write a lot of that stuff yourself. And Apple is giving you all of the stuff. You know, in a lot of ways, it's like what they did for, in my opinion, accessibility, right? And pushing that forward. It's like not every app needs accessibility. Well, maybe every app does. But point is like they make it so easy to integrate that if you want to do it, you can. And if you care about it, you can. They're not forcing anybody to do it, but you have the tools that you need. Whereas other places, you're having to go out and find libraries, and who knows if they're good or not, and you're having to find tools to actually make it work. And it's a lot more work. And so by making that easier for developers, it's more likely that more developers are going to care about it and implement it. And I think we saw that with accessibility. There's a lot more apps on iOS and Mac that are accessible because the tools are there and Apple cares about it so deeply. So that's, to me, really nice to see with the privacy side of things.
The parallel is actually very, very fitting, because, I mean, you get a fair share of accessibility without doing anything in your app. And the same is true for privacy. I mean, the new privacy controls that Apple introduced, and I think they showed that off on stage. I can't remember whether that was Stage of the Union or main keynote. They showed that off, and I mean, that is a big thing and a big theme, as I said. So it's actually, and you get it basically for free. You don't even have a choice. You get it whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta head out. Sorry that I have to interject there. I have a session coming up that I definitely want to attend. So,
It's got a session.
Got a beers. It's actually a Dom with a big whip and high heels.
He's looking very tired, isn't he?
That's what it is. That's what it is. Just to continue the scurrilous rumours about Patrice for no good reason.
All right.
Have a great time, mate. Thanks ever so much for your help this week. That's great.
Absolutely.
Take care, buddy. See you soon.
Thank you for having me. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, Patrice.
No worries, mate. That's it.
Yeah, well,
it's all over. Can't remember anymore. Didn't do anything else. Let's go through
iOS.
Okay, iOS. So what impressed
just
you?
Any the other highlights, I guess, because we kind of covered a couple of the big ones. I mean, the big one was the AR kit, right, really, and the Measure app. Well, I guess what also we didn't get to Mi Emoji. The Siri, Siri shortcuts.
Like, do we have to do Mi Emoji? Do we have to?
We do, but we should do Siri shortcuts first because finally third-party developers have access to Siri, basically. And users have access to Siri, which is even huger.
Go on then. So right? talk us through Mi Emoji then.
Mi Emoji or Siri shortcuts?
Siri shortcuts then. Let's do Siri shortcuts.
That's a bigger deal. So it looks like Apple basically took the technology that they acquired from Workflow, integrated it into the operating system, into an app. A new app they're calling Shortcuts, we don't need to go too deep into that because it's basically Apple's conversion of the app Workflow, which is like Automator for iOS, into an app. So you can chain together actions and they'll give you a bunch of things and you can create your own multi-step functions. But the bigger thing behind that is now you can also take those and apply Siri commands to them. So you can create your own Siri shortcuts to do various tasks on your iOS in Shortcuts. And then that is also available under the hood for apps. So an app developer could actually build a workflow and then expose that through the Shortcut API. And so you're in an app and it'll say, do you want a shortcut for this? And you can say yes. And then you can give it a Siri command. And basically now you have a Siri command for doing something in that third-party app. And
so that's customizable commands then. So that's almost like your scenario settings that you get with Alexa or your scene settings.
Yeah.
It's a lot like, I guess it's kind of, in some ways kind of like the skills thing, right? But a little more sandboxed and a little more Apple spin on it, right? How Apple does it. They've sort of turned it inside out where it's like a developer can't just like do anything. But they have a controlled set of actions that they can integrate with their app that they can expose to the user in a much more kind of secure and controlled way.
Right. Do you think that's critical to Siri's success, though? Or have they just done something that's a bit gimmicky there?
I think this is going to be huge. I mean, right. So now like I can get stuff into I guess I can already because it integrates with Calendar and they've worked around it, but apps are going to be able to do more with Siri. And I think that's a good thing. It's something we've been wanting for a long time, right?
Definitely. I mean, that's where Siri's fallen flat on its face, apart from the fact it can't recognize a frigging word I'm saying.
Right.
At times.
That'd be the more random.
I'm not from Wolverhampton.
It's his pikey roots.
You black country yam yam. How dare you?
I'm a Shropshire boy, mate.
Yeah, you're a black country yam yam. Don't you come here telling me about accent, pal.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, obviously, for me, this whole Siri thing is fantastic because it's the first time, you know, people say, oh, I wish it did this. And in a way, you can do it. You can set that keyword up for it to do that process. I used to do sort of any silly automated things on my Mac. It reminded me of just when I used to bring up Automator when I was doing things in GarageBand for people, and being able to say, well, you know, once I press play, it's just going to do this action. And that's exactly what you got with Siri. So you can say, you know, oh, I wish it was red, and then Siri would automatically turn on lights red. Or I mean, that's just really simple, but it can do a chain of things other than red. It could actually, right. You know, it could turn your HomePod on, play the piece of music that you want with the track you wanted. I mean, talk about automated home, you know.
Well, that's just a macro.
Keywords is fantastic.
Well,
really.
It is, but it goes, yeah. The other thing is I don't know if Alexa can do this. I'm assuming it can. You can go across multiple apps too, right? So you don't have to just have that action existing in one app. So you could select text from Safari and give a command and have that copied and pasted into your favorite notes app. I mean, that's a super simple example.
Yeah.
You know, but you can chain even more things to that. You could have it copy and pasted into your favorite note app and then also sent in as a tweet in Twitter.
I don't
think
Alexa can start doing chain commanding at all. I may have that wrong, but I don't think it can. I think if you want to do that type of stuff, you've got to go to IFTTT.
I think genuinely there was some developers sitting there and they were having eureka moments as this was being on stage. I honestly think this is going to be big. And and the people sitting in that audience who were going, either thank God or, oh my God, now we can do this thing. And I think over the next few months, we're going to be pretty wowed, I think. So by September, we should have some really good stuff.
You do realise there's going to be a story, though, of some bloke who triggers his system up to do something, and he says, lounge light off, and some poor lady in Beijing is going to have a light that's constantly flickering on and off, and she has no idea why. There'll be a crossover somewhere between accounts, one letter difference.
you're absolutely right. But you know, I think the apps on the back of it, as Adam was saying, I think we're just in for a real treat. I think come September, I really do, and the AR stuff as well, just incredible.
Not much. There was a few things in photos, right? Improved kind of photo suggestions and more of the AI stuff under the hood inside photos in terms of detecting places and events by date and time. I think the biggest thing there was they've integrated the location data from maps, it seems like, into places. So if you've geotagged your photos, you can actually use the name of a business or the name of a park or a school, and it will automatically kind of make that connection to those data points and the actual place that you were at, or even a category of places. So if you want all the photos you've taken at parks, for example, you could ask for that, and it's going to use that data to aggregate that. But that's more of just an enhancement to the stuff they've already been doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, again, being back in England, I'm meeting up with old friends, and I was actually in the pub only the other day, and this guy got his iPhone. He goes, I'm glad you're here. I want to show you this picture. And he was cycling through his phone just like this. And I said, what is it you want? He said, give me a second. He said, oh, these bloody iPhones, they're hopeless. And I went, hey, Siri, show me photographs of dogs. And his phone just did it. And he looked at me and went, oh, my God. You know, his face just dropped. So sometimes it's the fact that some people just don't know how to use Siri on their phone already. And when you show them, they're generally, honestly, he was just, like, awestruck. He went, can you do that with cars and things? And I was like, yeah.
You can do it with trees, animals, like anything.
Yeah. Yes, it's great. It's crazy. You can show pictures of cars, it all just, you know, even picked up tires. I mean, it was just brilliant. I mean, you know, it's great in if you know these commands, you know, and we're going to be offered a whole bunch more of those commands.
That's obviously interesting, because I've got, do you remember my 3D printed bulldog, Eddie?
Yeah.
Got the wings on his back. Well, that looks like a dog. It's got a tongue in it. His face looks like it. The whole thing looks like a dog, right? But if I put in dogs into photos, it doesn't find it at all. And I'm just thinking, well, even if it said, well, hang on a second, I've got something that looks like toys. A dog, but it's got a big wing on the top of it. But it still looks like a dog.
Toy dog.
Okay, I'll try that. I'll do that. I can't do that because I forgot my frigging phone. I came down here today and I forgot to bring my sodding phone. And of course, I burst open through the door and I set the alarm off because I haven't got my phone with me. I can't switch the alarm off. So Joe, my cleaner, had to reset it for me. Once I'd fired my Mac up and I sent her a message and said, sorry, can you switch the alarm off?
Do not disturb while sleeping.
Yeah, no, I couldn't say about that. That was kind of cool, wasn't it? I did enjoy that because there's many a time I've woken up and I happened to have just touched my phone to see what the time was. And there's a whole string of messages, mostly from Doc about roasting meats and you guys shooting the breeze after I've gone to bed. And then I'm like, what the hell's that? So I put my glasses on. As soon as I put my glasses on, that's it. It's another hour before I go back off again.
Exactly. I'm really going to use that feature. It's going to be great. But then I was super stoked as a parent. I'm kind of stoked about screen time, although I have pretty open dialogue with my kids, so I pretty much know what they're doing on their phones. But it'll be nice to have that extra sort of verification. And plus, it was a good way to threaten my daughter that, hey, you know, I can lock you out of apps now if you're not staying in line. You know, joking me, of course. It's like, we'll just turn messages out. You know, you do something wrong, the way I'm going to ground you, you lose access to messages for a week.
Oh, shit. Do you want to wake up with a knife between your shoulder blades?
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I think on the Genius Bar,
she didn't appreciate that.
Feature.
She didn't think that was funny at all.
Oh, no. I can see how that one missed the mark. Yeah, absolutely.
But again, if you're on the Genius Bar, the guys on the Genius Bar are going to love that, because if somebody says, oh, I'm never on Facebook, then they can say, well, actually, 90% of this phone is being used for Facebook. When I saw that feature,
it's frightening. That report, I don't want to see my own report because I'm just going to realize that I'm not as productive as I think I am.
Muller just said, why is there a mini James on the screen? It's because you're not watching the show, mate. You're watching the Skype screens. So when I asked you earlier if there was a little center or something on there, you said, no, it's not. It's because you were looking at completely the wrong thing, mate. Thanks.
All right.
So if there's a little line, white lines all over the place on the transmission, I've got no idea how to switch them off at the minute.
But. So and the other big thing in that section was grouped notifications. Thank God.
Yeah.
Adam wants to get on with it. Right, okay.
I'm worried we're going to run out of time because we've got a lot to get to.
It's only 43 minutes. Me emoji. I've had enough of emojis, but I get the kids get it. But I got to say, that looked actually quite, the girl with the dog thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was annoying. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't think her emoji was very much like her, but it wasn't too bad. And Lee Peterson, who regularly used to come on this show and hasn't come back for a while, but he's more than welcome to if he wants to, has done one of him, and his is pretty good, actually. It's knowing what Lee Peterson looks like. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, the customization in there looks amazing. I'm only, again, fearful because that was my daughter's, you know, I've got 12 and 15, their favorite part, and I'm the only one with a phone that'll do it. So that means I'm going to have about 27 million me emojis and probably a version of every Disney character imaginable on my phone.
Oh, bad luck, mate.
I've seen some great YouTube clips of people creating their emojis, and they're brilliant. I mean, obviously, iJustine's was very good. There's a guy, as an Asian girl called Kyla, who's quite popular on YouTube, and hers was the spitting image, even down to her makeup. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. I did think at the time, my God, if I was 14, I'd probably be really enjoying this. But I could see the wider appeal, definitely. You know, probably something. It's a bit like an emoji for, I think, most adults. They'll probably send the first two or three, and then they'd be forgotten about pretty quickly.
Well, this is to hook the kids, right? Because Apple is fully aware that these are the people that turn into their users in the future. So, I mean,
I think it's
invest in tongue detection. Come on.
The thing I will say about iJustine is she's a pretty girl. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but she's got quite neutral features, and it seemed to me that the more neutral features you've got, the easier it's going to be to get an emoji that will fit you, because I think there's probably going to be a few ugly fuckers who aren't going to get one. I'm just looking at Muller, though, when I said that. I can't think that Muller's going to be able to find a me emoji to work.
I'm going
to
try it.
Have you got it?
I'm going to try it.
You can't do it me emoji on an iPhone 6, can you?
No, you have to iPhone 10.
I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, you can't do a me emoji, surely.
I've just looked in the...
Oh, have you? Okay, all right, mate. You got iOS 12 on there, then?
No.
Well, you can't do it, then, because it's an iOS 12 feature.
Oh, dear.
Oh, he's got Emoji Face Maker app. No, that's not what I'm talking about, mate.
How about FaceTime? Are we going to move to FaceTime?
Yeah, there was the group FaceTime thing, which isn't going to help
32
us.
32 people.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
And it's, interface, my only complaint about that is they did the stupidest thing ever with the interface. I'm sorry. I read an article about this, and it was exactly the first thing that I thought with the bubbles moving in and out. I'm going to get seasick, first of all. And second of all, why wouldn't you just do, speaking of Brady Bunch, why wouldn't you just do a Brady Bunch grid?
I'll give over.
Seems to make more sense. But I mean, on a device the iPhone, it makes more sense.
Yeah, and it'll rotate as well if they're all squares. I don't mean the people. I mean the actual physical images are square before anyone writes in.
I think it's UI. It's a tough call, actually, because, you know, like you said, you're talking about that many people on a potentially an iPhone 10 screen. How they managed it, I actually thought it was pretty clever, but I think you're right. After a period of time, it might get a little bit tired pretty quickly. But as for a kind of proof of concept, if somebody drew that as a proof of concept, you'd probably be thinking, that's actually not a bad idea. I just think you're right. If you're looking at any longer a time than that, I think the way Google Hangout works is pretty good. The way the biggest
screen I'm going to guess eventually they'll have sort of themes or, you know, a couple different options, two or three options of how you want to display that.
Yeah. But I mean, I was quite interested in that, but I didn't see, I still haven't watched the Mojave section.
Mojave.
Sorry. Yeah. That's not what they called it on stage, surely. Not a hair force one.
Most of Birmingham will be, though.
No, so Mojave's got... did they show you how FaceTime would work on Mojave?
They did not. I don't think they showed it on the Mac.
That's where it's going to be interesting, because that means we could actually do all of this from one computer then.
And maybe,
just pops up. So, although
depends on how performance is and everything. Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered, but God, finally, you know. And then, of course, they don't do it in a small way. It's like, oh, and by the way, we have multiple users now. We've never we haven't had them, you know, since iChat. But, and you can do 32. It's not just 4, not just 8, 16. No, 32.
Yeah, sure. some processing power there behind being able to display all of that moving imagery, you know, and it being live is pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it was very good. It was very good. I was very impressed with that. Mojave then, merging Mac OS and iOS is not going to happen according to Ferengi, but they are going to allow iOS apps to play on the desktop.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
The technology iOS apps. formerly known as Marzipan. Right. Or never known as Marzipan.
But did it ever get used?
Or Marzipan. Is it Pan or Pon?
Marzipan.
I didn't know that. Marzipan. Marzipan. And what's black mode?
Dark mode, even.
Giving you everything's in dark mode, so you've got the interface is all, it's all dark, all the windows are dark. And they kind of did a massive round of applause when the Xcode screen came up as a black screen, because quite rightly so. People would normally have put a black desktop on the screen, and obviously there's some translucence to that window to make it dark, if you like. So there's a dark button that actually goes across the whole OS interface, and now it's built into Xcode. When anybody are writing apps now, they can have a dark mode for their app as well. So that whole kind of crossover thing between iOS and Mac is obviously a lot easier now.
So we're talking like the mode where you switch Twitter or Tweetbot from dark mode to light mode. Yeah.
Correct. Yep. And now it's at an OS level and all apps can take advantage of it and benefit from it. And they're even adding the ability to change your desktop with the time of day. And you can also, I think, make the interface change with the time of day. So you can start out in the morning in light mode and then have it transition to dark mode.
As the screen gets yellower and yellower.
As the screen gets yellower and yellower, yep, exactly.
I turn that off. Nighttime mode.
It goes, what's dark? It's dark yellow. Is it beige? It gets beiger and beiger until it becomes sand, and then it becomes mud, deep brown. And
sunset.
Then before it finally disappears.
Yeah, the biggest news on the, just to quickly take it back to the iOS apps coming to the Mac, the biggest news there is just Apple taking, because the two operating systems share a lot of core technologies, but obviously the problem is if you've built something for touch, it's quite a bit of work to right now convert it over to something that works with a mouse and a keyboard and, you know, Windows and minimize and maximize and all that stuff. So they've taken a lot of those things and made it easy for developers to port, and they're not going to make that available to developers till next year, 2019. So Apple's playing around with it internally. And that's why I was confused at like why Apple was making a big deal early on in the keynote about bringing stocks to the Mac and to the iPad. And the reason is they used that technology to, that was one of the apps. So they kind of focused on four apps: news, stocks, voice memos, and books. And the three news stocks and voice memos were developed for the Mac with that technology. So they're kind of playing around with it.
Deep Pan in the chat room says that I may have come across Samsung's next launch, deep beige mode.
there was some news coming out about, do you know the State of Union, Adam?
Yep, I watched a little bit of it. I haven't finished it yet.
And they're one about sort of signing off apps. So as you know, if you get an app that's not signed at the moment, you can go to sort of Gatekeeper and just say yes, verify this app.
Right.
And obviously they're putting more emphasis on that this year. And they were saying that eventually it will have to be a signed app. It's coming. It's something that's coming.
Is
that something we should be worried about? That you know, that
no, I mean, can and yeah, yeah, they basically. No, because right now the way it works is every developer actually has to have, I mean, in order to make a Mac app, you already have to have a developer account, right? So you have to do that. They're just not forcing you to sign apps. So basically this is just them. They're saying in a couple of years, you're going to have to sign your apps. They're not going to do any app review. They're not going to do anything other than you have to have a certificate and you have to sign your app. So it's, again, more about, I think, the control of security and privacy. And so at the very least, if that app does something malicious or wrong, there's a paper trail back to who developed it. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, things like that, what they're starting to do is tell you that there are applications that you cannot have on Mac. Because they're never going to sign things like NoteBurner, are they, or that kind of stuff that lets you back up your DVDs? Because it's too.
And this is it. It's kind of like, you know, are we being told now, like we are on iOS, what we can and can't install? Because obviously we can only install stuff that iOS allows us through the App Store. You know, we've grown up with that, but now we're moving into, you know, what is. I mean, talk about no crossover between iOS and Mac. This is definitely a crossover, I think, and will upset some developers. But there again, I just think if you're going to buy £2,800 machine, you should be able to put whatever you want on it, as we're all wearing our big boy pants, as it were.
I think it's, yes, that's an argument that if I've got my own machine, I ought to be able to put on my own machine what I want. What bothers me more so is the fact that Apple is going to dictate what type of programs you can have on there. Because, I mean, let's say I can't think of something. Because there's a lot that Apple shies away from. Anything that's got anything vaguely towards nudity or porn or swearing or that kind of stuff, it gets taken away.
But again, this isn't an App Store thing. This is just you have to have a certificate to sign to sign your app. Yeah, and anybody can get one of those. It's
No. But then Apple is going to start issuing those signings out at their limitations, not at our limitations, is what I'm saying.
They said no on that. I mean, they're not doing any. Again, they're not doing any app review.
So it's just you've just got to be a registered developer to develop on that for Mac, and that's all.
Correct. That's what they're saying right now.
No censorship of apps or ghettoization of apps.
Correct. They're not going to control or dictate what the app can do or what the content is. You just have to have the. That's what they're saying right now. Again, anything can change. So you know your hesitation on that is probably correct, but. Publicly right now what they said is, and it's not even this year, it's just they were letting developers know we're going to implement this policy. And there's a name for it. It's not a signing certificate, they have a name for it. It's like it's not passport, but it's some sort of, you know, thing like that.
Cool. Have we covered all the key points, chaps?
Stacks on desktop.
All right, okay. Stacks, I've never got into Stacks, I have to say.
I think like anybody else, like me, like you guys, you probably take a lot of screenshots. So your desktop is littered with screenshots and the date, da da da.
Yeah.
Having all those automatically create a pile for me that I can actually skim through very quickly and get back into is such a massive thing. Because like most people, I've got a little folder here called Tidy Desktop. And this means whenever I do a little screen share with anybody, they can't see all of my rubbish because they'd be pretty shocked. So having that it's such a simple thing. When it came on the screen, I kind of looked and went, well, yeah. You know, like I wasn't surprised, but then I was really happy that it exists because I think we've all got that same thing. So anything like zip files, you know, then automatic stacking is such a great idea. And whoever sort of said, let's do this now, is a complete genius because I think we all knew that we needed it but never really asked for it.
I always liked the file system where you could roll, like, you know, when you did your Time Machine backup, you could roll back through like a Rolodex, go through the Time Machine backups, to find them what you saw. It always struck me that Stacks should have something like that where things can be put in a location and you can go through like, because actually you only need to look at the first half centimeter of an image to know what it was an image of, generally.
So you can scrub through it. That was what I was going to mention is those Stacks really cool. You can scrub through and then you can drag and drop something out. So you can kind of flip through them. Like a stack like a Rolodex, of, you know, like you're flipping through a stack of files, and then when the one you need is at the top, you just drag it over, double click it, open it up, or whatever it might be. So they did that, and they also did bring back with the new gallery view, basically what was cover flow, right?
Yeah. Being able to trim a clip in Quick Look is killer. Sometimes it's just that sort of thing, especially if you're capturing part of your screen just for a customer just to show them something, and as always you're just setting up and move the mouse around, just open up Quick Look and move those two trim bars, just only even if it's half a second, It just means you haven't got to open up a quick time and have to do that edit and save
that. Well, no, steady on, mate, because that means it's only creating an XML file or a kindred XML. What's the one that Apple use? LHM files, is it?
Yeah, is it?
I can't remember. It's either LHM or ARF or something like that, where it makes a because it's not actually affecting the clip. What it's giving it is clip information. It's like a raw edit, if you like, because you can't edit a raw file. So you're not actually editing the video. What you're doing is when you run it, it defaults to the script that tells it only needs to play from here to here. It doesn't edit the clip at all.
I'm going to assume it works sort of like it does on iOS, though, right? And it would give you the option to save a copy.
Save a copy as.
I'm not going to say 100%, but when it's saving a copy, it's not saving a copy of the clip. It's saving a copy of the LHM file that will tell it how much to play. So when you drag that clip, if you can actually get that clip as a file, unless you drag the LHM file with it, it won't go. It won't come across.
That's not how it works on iOS. That's all I know. You get a separate. You get a separate clip.
You don't. It's not
iOS.
It's a file that's controlled with another. It's a film that's controlled with another file. I'm pretty sure of that. All it's doing. So like, you know, like when you edit your slow-mo videos. You do a normal pace, and then it shows the super slow-mo stuff, and then it does an external piece afterwards. What it's doing there is it's all it's doing is telling it the clip points in a third party file, well, not a third party file, but an additional file.
But what I'm saying is, when you go to share that, if I'm going to send that in an email, that thing that I've clipped, and I hit share, it does an export of the clipped file.
It renders
because
it
because Apple's smart enough to recognize that if I don't share it that way. Yeah. The other person's not going to be able to view it.
But it has to then, you've got to give it the command to send it out as a new rendered file.
Correct.
Yeah. So what James is saying is
it's
not editing.
The command. It happens automatically when I use the share button.
Yeah, okay. But James, the way I got it from James was thinking it would just instantly make a new file. It doesn't make a new file. It just adds clip data. That's what I understand. But anyway, it could be wrong. I've been wrong before, apparently.
If I was running it, I'd be able to give you some proper information on that, but from what I saw was
was
bloody quick and bloody brilliant at the same time.
There's 4 months to find out.
Do we care about continuity camera?
Tell us about continuity camera then, and then we'll do the ons.
It's just they're using continuity along with your iOS device. So if you're working in an app and you need to insert a photo or an image directly from the camera, you can go directly from your iPhone right into the application.
Brilliant. That's good. That's going to be good if you're doing setup stuff.
Yeah.
Like a tutorial or something like that.
Yeah, you're putting a keynote or a Pages document together and you have something physical in the room you need to take a picture of. It was pretty cool. I mean, it made a cool demo, but, you know, and then the only other thing was the additional security and privacy features they added to Safari to not let people do things like fingerprinting.
Yeah, Facebook can't track you without a positive authorization anymore as well, can they?
Right. Well, and also, I mean, a lot of people don't know that behind the scenes, some of the tracking companies now are using, the data that's provided from your computer, like what fonts you have installed in your browser and what plugins you have installed, along with which operating system you're on, which version of your browser, which version of the operating system, culling that together and creating basically an ID of your computer. And they can track that from site to site. Because they go, that's exactly the same computer because it has, they look at enough variables and they can make that unique. And so they're going to be stopping that from being able to be done as well. So even if you've disabled cookies, they've started using this fingerprint as a cookie, quote unquote, to track you as you go from site to site.
Cool. Muller, could you rustle a little less, please, mate? Either that or switch your mic off.
Has he got a bag of chips? Because it sounds like it.
He has. He's got a bag of chili and lime, and he's got them right next to the mic. The mic's lying on the desk right next to them. So apologies for that audio. This podcast, and others, is brought to you by Telestream's Wirecast. We had a bit of a game last night, as I said earlier on, but the support from Telestream was just unreal. It was great. Wirecast is a great piece of software. It takes in your video sources, or it takes in JPEG sources, PNG sources, and it lets you layer them, and then you can broadcast from it, plain and simple. And it's used for sports venues, churches, podcasters, all kinds of people use Wirecast, and it is absolutely brilliant. I've got to say, having gone from Wirecast 6 to Wirecast 9, 9 is slick as snot, and it feels an awful lot lighter. I've been looking at my CPU cycles up here on it, and system CPU hasn't got above 56%. Now, the old one used to run at 80%, so there's something going on in here that's made it an awful lot more efficient as well as. There's a few idiosyncrasies that I've got to learn yet about changing shots, so sorry if we've had a couple of glitches pop up, but I'll get to that in the end. But it's a great, great piece of software. It's well worth it. And, of course, don't forget, ScreenFlow is the other piece of software that Telestream do as well, so you can support our sponsors by buying ScreenFlow for yourself as a screen capture device, and it does so much more than that. I've really not done it justice there. Take the opportunity, please, to tweet out and say thanks to at Telestream for supporting at British Tech, because that kind of reinforcement really does help. And UK2 as well do the same thing with them. We've still got a long-term relationship with them, and Brighty did it yesterday, and UK2 picked up on it and retweeted it. So please, thank UK2 and thank Telestream, because without them, we really wouldn't be doing this. And we've proved the last few weeks without Telestream, we would not be doing this show. Hoya and Janiku, here you go. This is me. I went up to Hoya at Wrexham, and they fixed the fault with my face. Because you can see on the right there, as my nose has been broken several times, and after rugby they then straightened it for me permanently and scraped a load of bone out. Where the glasses are just sitting there, just on the right hand side of my nose actually goes back in behind. So the camera was having a bit of trouble picking it up. And I'm very proud to have been used as a test case to improve the software experience for future customers. So it didn't have a problem measuring my nose. What it did have a problem with was when I picked out the glasses that I wanted. I wanted some that were a little bit wider than this and the same kind of square shape. And it went, no, mate, because what we've got to do is the lens means that we've got to cheat the grind on the glass. And because your eyes are too close together...
Sound like one hell of a bloke.
Pupil distance apparently is called your PD, and Mark was telling me that they were playing a Pictionary where the game where you have to describe something but there's words you can't use, and he was playing at an opticians conference, and someone had the word nightmare, and she looked at her colleague opposite and went, big head, small pupil diameter, and he went, nightmare. Yeah, and apparently that's what I am. I've got a distance between my pupils of 60 centimeters, and the average for a 5'10" man is 64 centimeters.
Yeah,
so I was out with dinner as well with one of the new recruits, and I pointed out, I said, well, yours are quite close, and he went, yeah, they're 62, but they're not bloody 60. I'm like, oh, burn. Ouch.
It's funny, if you use the PlayStation VR, one of the settings on the PlayStation VR is that it actually measures your eye distance between the right. Two the lenses to make it more accurate. So that's interesting.
And it won't go below 61, knowing my look, so I won't be buying it. So these are the glasses that I'm getting. Those are them. They are the all green ones. They are the new, really designery ones. They're absolutely beautiful. They feel, the finish on them is superb. They've really improved the finish quality on the print as well. And those will be coming. I'll be getting a tungsten pair for doing the shows, and I'll be getting a general pair for doing the... my day-to-day life. We've also got a review of En Route coming out soon, and the difference is I've paid for these. So the review that I come out, I don't have to say they've given them to me because I've paid for them. So there you go. My reviews will be completely, utterly, they were unbiased before, but they are completely unbiased now. So there you go. My Unikus are on their way. They're being made, and I have had no error messages come through saying, oi about those, you can't get them. Sorry, mate. Raw chicken in restaurants. I'm getting there. Right. Have we got a cool thing? Start us off. Adam.
Hey, yeah. I have a cool little thing that I discovered, and I don't know, I forget how I found this, but it would be great for anybody who's in school, who is trying to learn something new. It's from the folks who do Duolingo, and it's a little flashcard application called Tiny Cards. And you can go in there and you can kind of create your own around any subject or topic that you want. You can add either photos or just text. But what's even cooler is it also has a little like shared library. So if you create a set of flashcards, then you can share those out. And so there's a huge library of stuff that people have put together. And so like a couple that I played around with immediately was I found one that was like state flags. That's kind of fun to play around with. And there was one that was like Mayan hieroglyphs. And it's cool because you can set it up in a couple of different ways and they have different levels that you go through. So like the first time through, they're just showing you the cards, right? And then the second time through, you can either get the answer and then try and figure out, you know, what the image is or vice versa. And, they can make it more and more challenging and stuff like that. And it's a simple little application. It doesn't do a lot, but if you're trying to learn, various things, it is simple, easy. It's got a great design and, I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of cool.
So these would be great for kids for revision for exams.
Oh, for any, yeah, that's perfect for that. And again, it's from Duolingo, you know, they do the language thing, which is also brilliant. And so it's really well done and really well thought out. And I think, I want to say it's free. I don't think I paid for it. So
I've just typed in physics. So if you were practicing for your physics exams, you've got all the symbols. There's physics equations, electrical symbols, physics revision notes, graphs of how to do motion, distance, time, basic physics notes, physics symbols only, GCSE physics revision notes. So it's already done for you. You've just got to learn it.
Right. Well, and then two, if you download someone's, you then have it. And I think I'm pretty sure you can edit it and tweak it and customize it for yourself too. So,
right. So I'm just going to put in GCSE maths because there's an S in maths, Adam. and GCSE maths revision timetable is right there.
Yeah. It's a great little application. And again, I want to say it was free. I don't remember paying for it, but even if it was a couple bucks or whatever it might be, it's well worth it.
Sorry,
I don't have the price in front of me.
I'm going to text that to Ellis this very second, and he'll go, what are you texting me for?
Check yeah, it's free.
This at Ellis. Free and good. For
yeah, but he's just going to make one that's like, you know, Fortnite weapons or something like that.
Yeah, he can do that too. I'll let you have one of those for every time he does something that isn't.
You're like, what are the kill values on each Fortnite weapon?
That's a great comment. I don't know why you haven't said this, Muller, because it's probably one of the funniest things you've ever come out with. Americans, take the S from Lego and put it on maths instead.
Who uses an S in Lego?
Apart from Gamut and yourself, tons of Americans put Legos. Yeah, loads of Americans put Legos up, mate. Absolutely. It's horrific.
You play with your Lego.
Good man. Well, it's not a Lego, actually. It's just they're Lego bricks. The bricks are the things. Lego's the company. So if you're playing with Lego, it's because you own it. So yeah, no, Lego bricks. But yeah, take the Muller's advice. You need to get that made into a t-shirt for the bash, mate. Take the S off Legos and put it on maths. Definitely. Good one, mate. That's the title. I think we've got one. Take the S off Lego and put it on maths. Good pick, mate. Well, I like that. I like that a lot.
Tiny cards from Duolingo.
Excellent pick. Top that, James Rickard.
I can't, can I? He's too good, that guy. This, I'm going to probably appeal to 0.0.1% of your audience now. Mention something super geeky. It's called FaceCap. Now, what this does...
Say it again, because you cut out, mate. FaceCap.
And what face it cap. Does is, it's a motion capture of your face using the iPhone 10. You've got an iPhone 10, so using the True Depth camera. And the idea is, this app is free, and it lets you record like only a few seconds of your facial thing. So think of any Memoji, but now you can actually take this data and import it into some of the top 3D software applications. As an example, Autodesk, Maya, Lightwave, Houdini, and Blender, and also Cinema 4D. So this
you can do motion capture your face for Cinema 4D.
Yeah. There's a few issues with Cinema 4D at the moment that they're trying to fix. The eye track is not quite there. The instructions they give me are a bit vague to try and fix it, and I still can't seem to fix it. But I can import the face in. So if you've got an iPhone 10, you can sort of hold it in front of you, You press record and you go, hello, my name is James, blah, blah, blah. It records the audio that you've just recorded and obviously the facial capture. You then can import that straight into, in my case, Cinema 4D, and it is a proper mocap. Now, anybody who knows Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Core was banging on about this a few weeks back. And if you're in the business and you know what this is doing, it's actually bloody brilliant. So this means, obviously, in Cinema 4D, you can take this, obviously, this 3D model and then start to extrude the nose, add features to it, create something else of it as well. Absolutely brilliant. And it's free. Now, to unlock the recording duration, I think it's about $6.99. So again, it's really, really cheap. Anybody wants to sort of go in there and start playing with it. So again, it is appealing to a small part of the audience, but just showing us how good this technology has been becoming. And, you know, before you'd have to have a few sort of motion capture balls on your face to get this kind of detail. And we're doing it with an iPhone 10, which is just, and a free piece of software at the moment. I think it's just incredible. And when you see it imported, yeah, it's great. So the potential's there. But it's, at the moment, it's a bit of a toy to play with, but surely it shows us where we're going with this technology.
Excellent.
Wow. That's like cool. That?
Yeah, no, that's very good.
There is something, just as a sort of, it's not sort of a bonus, but basically there's something called CV-AR. This is very similar. And again, it's free, but the trouble is when you want to import it into Cinema 4D, you've got to be paying some subscription to Cineversity, which is their online learning. So unfortunately, you're sort of hoodwinked into downloading the CV-AR app. But when you actually try and import data, it says you've got to have a premium membership, I think about $20, which is a shame. But this is doing it all, and it's doing eyeballs as well for free at the moment, which is pretty cool.
Now more importantly, at the risk of extending the show too long, we forgot to mention the HomePod.
What about it, though?
The plant stand.
James got a HomePod.
Oh, God, yes. I forgot about that. It's not unboxed.
And I've also got a new Mac.
Yes, he's got the shrink wrap off of it.
Now
he's at least touched it.
Yes, I've touched it, and I've been updating it today to the 2.4 gigabyte of an update for the new multi-room and the stereo pairing. So 2.4 gigabyte.
Did you get two?
Yes, I've got two. I've not tested them yet. I think me and Ewan might have a bit of a surprise next week. We're working on, aren't we, Ewan?
Yeah, we're going to try and get together, but it depends on your daughter-in-law, really, doesn't it?
Well, if she doesn't have a baby by Friday, it'd be a miracle. But anyway, yeah, so I've got HomePod, which is great, but I've also got a new Mac, which is pretty good news. Took it back into the Genius Bar the minute I landed in the UK, and I showed them the video of everything I captured, and they just went, here's a new Mac.
Really? So, was it that easy?
I'm not joking. It was easier. It wasn't even a conversation. The Genius Bar guy sat down with me and says, what's up? And I said, can I play this little video? It's a great hint for anybody who's having issues with their technologies. Definitely. Get your iPhone out, record it, you know, and kind of don't have to record more than sort of 8 or 9 seconds or whatever it is that there's a problem. But just record it with your phone. So I was able to demonstrate through video the touch bar not working, the keys depressed.
Which are intermittent.
The clashing screen. Because they're all intermittent. When I got there, all of these things, other than the keyboard, was actually all working, functioning, no problem. So I played him what was probably a 20-second video of all the problems. And he just sort of clapped his hands together, looked at my warranty and went, no problem. And he just got me a new Mac. What was really good was, like the previous ones, I just handed over my Mac and they give me a brand new retail box Mac, which means I've now got 3 power supplies for a MacBook
Pro. No, you didn't hand over your Mac. You handed over something that was the same shape as a Mac but didn't perform at all.
It needed to be drop-kicked into the corner, that particular
Mac. Did you exert any ex-management influence, though, in getting that change, or were you just a straight punter?
None at all. I booked my appointment like you do normally, and luckily I got in there very early in the morning, so I was able to be seen within something like 20 minutes of getting there. Yes, I was kind of greeted with a smile, but I was sat down, and it was like, okay, this...
So they knew it was you.
I just want you to see this. Pardon?
They knew it was you.
Well, I've worked at Apple 10 years. I've trained most of staff in most of the stores in the UK, really. So yeah, I can't get away. I'll be honest with you, I was in the store for 3 hours because I couldn't get out.
Julie was over the moon.
No, Julie didn't come with me. Julie knew this, I was going to be in it for a long run. But no, I mean, honestly, I did say to him, you know, is this, he said, well, look, anybody who will sit down and show me a video like you've done, you know, I can't complain. You know, you're showing me the faults you've had, intermittent or not. I mean, the touch bar actually disappearing completely.
Not working's not working. Doesn't matter when it's not working.
I can back you up because that's exactly what I did with my 2011 MacBook Pro that had the video issues. You know, those had the video that would, the video chips that would become desoldered. And I did exactly the same thing. I took a video and it was no question. The minute the guy saw the video, he's like, yep, that's the issue. Yeah. And it wasn't doing it in the store. So I couldn't do it on the actual device for him because it was so intermittent. And it was just no questions asked, and they we'll give you a replacement.
Yeah, cool. Brilliant.
So,
question, James, did they ask you to send them the video so they could feed it back up the food chain?
Do you know what? They didn't actually, but the Genius Bar guy who looked at my problems was a very knowing nod.
Right,
as if to say, I've seen that. Definitely seen the keyboard issue. And none of it was a surprise to him.
Yeah,
which was worrying at the same time as like he wasn't kind of, I've not seen that before. And can you talk about that issue a little bit more? He watched this 15-20 second video and just, like I said, handed me a new Mac, which obviously, as I mentioned on in the forums, you know, the warranty started on the 1st of June. So I've had it for 7 days now and it's working brilliantly. So
I went to see Anders this week because we've got some stuff going off with the Sentry footage and stuff. And he showed me his little 13-inch MacBook Air that he's bought, and it was absolutely stunning. I adored using it. The keyboard is lovely. I really want one of those keyboards. And he said he's had absolutely no issues at all. So it is just you, James.
All I can say is Cinema 4D and Motion 5 and Final Cut 10 should not be used on the MacBook Pro 15.
Well, they're going to be.
They shouldn't be.
All right, I'm going to make us move on because I want to get to you. Michael pick, thing, I just saw it in the chat.
Michael thing is my son Ellis burst through the door the other day and said, "Dad, do you want to come and play Fortnite?" I'm like, "I can't play Fortnite, Matt. I'm a bit crap at it. I'm no good with those. I'm a mouse and keyboard man." He went, "Well, you can play it on the Mac." No, I can't. No, you can't. I said, "Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can play it on the Mac. And you can play it on your iPhone as well." I'm like, "No, you can't." He says, "Yes, you can." And lo and behold, yes, you can. It's available on the Mac in the App Store, and it is annoyingly brilliant. I have to say, I am hooked and utterly shit at it at the same time.
Me too. I'm terrible at it, but I only played on iOS though. I haven't played on the Mac yet.
Out there that are playing this are pissing me right off. You got some little 8-year-old who creeps up behind you, shoots you, and then giggles down the microphone because you've been paired with him. And he's like, "You little bastard! I am crap at it. I cannot. I go into
so let's form a garbage team, a team of garbage players."
Well, here's the other cool thing, because Ellis is like, I said, "Yeah, but then I've got to play on Mac and I can't play with you." He said, "No." He said Fortnite people could find all Fortnite people on all platforms. And you're like, "You're kidding me."
It's an option, yeah. I mean, by default, they'll put you in the same platform because it's a little bit trickier on iOS, but yeah.
So Beamer, who's one of the listeners, he's one of my mates now, so I'm embarrassing myself in front of him. My son's got me as well, so I'm embarrassing myself in front of him. And one of his friends knows me now, so he's embarrassed for me as well.
How come you guys didn't tell me? I posted about this in the games channel on the Slack and was looking for people to play with.
I didn't know, mate. And Ellis burst in the other day and told me, and I've been playing it. And I've been playing it sometimes when I should have been working as well, which is not good.
Sure. So, yeah, that's the problem. iOS 12 is going to help you with that.
We need to add people. So we're going to start our own clan. How do we start? Adam, can you start a clan for us, isn't it?
I'll look into it.
A BTN clan, there we go, for Fortnite, and we'll all get together. Whatever platform you're on, we can all hook up. So it'll be great. I'll post my gamer tag in the Slack room. Join the Slack room. We'll all have it.
Yeah. You'll have a hard time figuring out my gamer tag, I'm sure.
We'll have a BTN, Mattcast, yeah. We'll have a BTN, we've just done Where's Mac, Where's Adam. No, we'll have, I'll start a chat room in the Slack that's Fortnite Clan. So there we go. And we can all go in there and do it. Brilliant.
Just do it in the games channel.
No, because then we'll keep it separate, because anyone in the James channel can get pissed off then about us going, oh, I'm shit at this. Oh, no, you're not there. You're here. Adam, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
As always, you can find me at Mattcast.com. Also, Mattcast in your favorite podcast app, and Mattcast on all social media.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And James, where will you be?
Yes, you can
shouting
find me
push at... tomorrow about this time.
Excuse me.
Shouting yeah, push I'll be in the local hospital, down the phone. Hopefully.
Who knows? Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at James Ricards. And of course, I'm still running my idiscover.tv website, where BTN Rocks gets you a good voucher, a bit of money off that training as well. So idiscover.tv or just at James Ricards if you want to talk to me.
Excellent, mate. idiscover.tv, great training, mate. That'd be lovely.
Thank you.
And you do realise they're not going to let you in. You might as well not be there, because they won't let you in for a day or so until, mate, you can't be there. It's not your baby. You can't usurp your son's position, mate. Just relax, go get a coffee, do some shopping, and they'll call you when it's done.
I'm that bored. I joined Slimming Wheel today. That's another conversation, isn't it?
That's another wasted money, mate.
Are you sure there's not...
you've got a membership card.
There won't be a Twitch stream or something like that?
James got a membership card for Slimming World. That's, if you get knocked over, mate, someone's going to find that. You'll be embarrassed for the rest of your life. Never mind whether you got clean underpants on.
I need to get rid of this, buddy.
Okay, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. We are back in the studio thanks to Telestream. Cheers, boys and girls, because it's great. I've got to say, it's been, apart from a few little hassles yesterday and a few this afternoon, it's okay, and we're done. And thank you, Telestream. It's superb. Have a great weekend, and thank you. Oh, don't forget the bash. Forgot about the bloody bash. You need to buy tickets for the bash. Yeah, get them. £25 for adults, £5 for kids. All your beer, all your food's included. All you got to do is get yourself up here, and we'll send you stuff about hotel information. We've got a great place, actually, that's only £35 a night for the room, which is over in Minworth at Minworth Social Club, and they're really clean and nice rooms, and it's not horrible at all. And they've got something like 19 rooms, so there's plenty of spaces for people, because the Travelodge has cottoned onto us, and they've got all the big money. But we've moved the date for next year, so we've really screwed them. But get your tickets, please. BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets. Please, please, please get them in, because I've already had to pay for the sodding all. So I'm out of pocket now. So please, if you come in, let's get it all. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.